finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show with Dale Campbell.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show continuing our special series. Let me turn that down a little bit. Continuing our special series on for 2016. This is the biggest stories of 2016 for you. And wow, 2016. Hey, we've made it to the end of 2016, and about time too, because here's the thing with 2016. For news, I think 2016, for the most part, was kind of a bit iffy from the get-go, and we'll get to some of the big, big stories over the course of the next, I want to say about a little over an hour. I want to keep this as close to an hour as I can to just try and get it out as much as I can. So, but over the last year, I think to myself, everyone in news in 2016, when you think news of 2016, you think negatively. And for the most part, you would be right. I think negative is probably the impression that you get for news in 2016. So, and we'll break some of that down for you, but I think people went into 2016 with lots of high expectations, and when things started to fall into place, you just didn't know what to do with all of that. But it wasn't all bad in 2016, as we'll highlight. But for the most part, I think 2016 just didn't go the way of popular vote. I'll say it that way. Welcome to the biggest stories of 2016. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get started. In today's episode, I had to make a lot of cuts to this episode because there was a lot of stories that I could have included in this episode. And don't get me wrong, this episode is going to be beefy, because unlike the best of, the best of last year and the biggest stories of last year, I think when it comes to big, big news, it kind of happened gradually. Particularly with our first story, the election, it happened in slight little pieces over the course of the year. Of course, this year, again, for the second year consecutively, the elections held the top spot for the biggest searched story on Facebook. But the second year running, politics did, and particularly the US presidential election held that top spot. Now, why is that? Mainly because I think that it's got something to do with people want to do research. I think you'll see this year, and we'll get to more of this year, that people are willing to do their research before making decisions, particularly going into 2017, particularly out of 2016. As we look forward to 2017, next week with our predictions episode. But for now, let's just dive straight in to the US presidential election, because that held the top spot in a lot of the best, quote-unquote, best lists when it comes to news in 2016. Small increments, like I said earlier, where people were doing their research over the course of the year. It wasn't a big swath at one period of time, and that just lasted to the rest of the year. You had the primaries that kicked off in February through to June, and then, of course, the general election that happened in November. So let's break the results of the US presidential election down. So at the end, when it all wrapped up in a nice little bow, after our election coverage, excuse me as I adjust my microphone, Donald Trump won the U.S. presidential election. That's right. He got 306 electoral votes. And Miss Clinton got 232 to Trump's 306 electoral votes. In terms of the popular vote, yeah, Mrs. Clinton did edge that out by about 1.5 million. But again, 2016 did not come down to a popularity contest. Believe you me, it did not. And then Trump did something that I don't think many U.S. the Republicans did. There's something in the Mid-East called the Rust Belt, which is made up of Ohio, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. That's sort of the Rust Belt normal Democrat that Trump took out. I mean, you've got to think that Trump won Alabama, Arizona, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine District, Michigan, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and Wyoming. So he won the states that he needed to win, to garner the election that he needed to get. And while, yes, Mrs. Clinton did gain that popular vote that she needed, she didn't win the amount of states that was needed. And people go back to that popular vote like it is the be-all, end-all. And it is, in a way, when it comes to this sort of thing, it is in a way, but you've got to look at it like this. You've got to look at it like this. Looking at just the sheer amount of states that was won by Trump simply outnumbers the states that Trump won. And I'm not a Trump fan by any stretch of the imagination, so don't get me wrong. Like, don't misconstrue this for anything else. But it's a numbers game, and Trump played the numbers, and his presidential run was like none other that we saw in 2016. You gotta think that. Okay. Trump announced June last year, became the presumptive nominee on May 4th, became official at the Republican National Convention on July 19th this year, and then won the election on November 9th. You know, he had people, a lot of people working for him. He had scandal surrounding him. Mr. Trump, you know, kind of had like he isolated everyone in his opening announcement speech. He, you know, railed against so many people in that opening speech. He railed against so many people in his campaign. But I said this, and it's not originally my line, so I'll give credit where credit's due. I mean, the morning show that I listen to every single morning coined this phrase first. As soon as he slapped Make America Great Again on a hat, that won his election, because people saw that, people thought that America had gone away from its normal values. And, you know, in a way, I can kind of see that. If you are that minded, I mean, you definitely are going to resonate to a message that comes from your side, I mean, I'm definitely not going to argue that one. What I will argue is if I agree with you or not, but, you know, that's not for me to say. But I think that, yeah, the moment that Mr. Trump slapped Make America Great Again on a hat, I think, may have won him this election. According to Wikipedia brands him as a populist, a lot of populist positions. That's not for me to say. And his early campaign and his border, the build the wall, and lots of just controversy and press surrounding Mr. Trump. And you've got to think the Trump party that was the RNC that we covered here on the show, yeah, it was a spectacular, it was something spectacular, it was something definitely to behold, whether you agreed with him or not, it was definitely something to behold. And I think, again, slapping a Make America Great Again on a hat may have won him this entire election. And not to take any credit away from Mrs. Clinton either on the other side. Yeah, she had Stronger Together, and it's about that unity, about that coming together. I think both candidates did present themselves. It's marketing round here on GLS, but I think the moment that Trump made America great again, it just rolls off the tongue as well. And Clinton had that sense of unity as well. So they both presented messages of change, essentially, which is what Barack Obama presented in 2008 as well, and that won him the election back then. So you gotta think it's the different matters, and you gotta think popular vote as well. You've got more people living in California and New York than Oklahoma, of all places, and probably, I don't know, how big is Texas? I don't know. And, well, how big in comparison are all the other states as well? So I don't think Maine's that big. But the point is, I think 2017 is going to be interesting, and we're going to be talking about this again when it comes to the biggest stories of 2017, mark my words, whereas, because when Trump gets inaugurated on January 20th. I'm not going to say from this date onwards, because it was like in a month. But in January 20th, I just did say that. Oops. Beep. No, I think. But when Trump does get inaugurated, you know, in 2017, I think, is politics going to be this rolling sort of biggest story that we'll be talking about for a long time to come? And I think maybe politics is a part of our life now. Politics never used to be a part of our life, and now we're so involved in politics, you can't really avoid it. And you got to think, these two candidates, Trump on the Republican side and Clinton on the Democratic side, they had a lot of opponents from both perspectives, you know? So, and those opponents were, you know, not few and far between. I mean, you had 17 in at one stage on the Republican side. You had Bush, Carson, Christie, Cruz, Fiorina, Gilmore. Oh, Jim Gilmore! Okay, so 2016 was the running joke of Jim Gilmore. So, and if CJ Boat from Geek.io is listening, remember Jim Gilmore? We'll be getting to more of this later on in the show for what I achieved personally, what my biggest stories of 2016 were, but you got to think, Jim Gilmore was the running joke between CJ and I for a good month. I think the whole month of January last year was just Jim Gilmore chat and what he was up to. I just remembered that. Anyone thought of Jim Gilmore in a while? Lindsey Graham, Huckabee, Jindal, Kasich, Pataki, Paul, Perry, Rubio, Santorum, Walker. Ugh. And then on the other side you had Chafee, Lizik, O'Malley, Sanders, Webb. So you had six on the Democratic side at one point. Anyone remember? Rick Perry was first to go out, apparently. When did Jim Gilmore hit out? Okay. Anyway. I haven't thought about Jim Gilmore in forever. Now I'm glad I remember Jim Gilmore of all people. Okay. Moving on, because I wanna get through this as much as possible. Now, another story we've got to keep in mind as well. We are an Australian-based podcast. Now, in Australia, we had what I like to call the birth and the death of the same-sex marriage plebiscite. Now, when I say the birth and the death, I don't... That's a bit grim knowing what I'm going to be talking about later on, but hey. I don't know what that was. Anyway, so when it comes to the same-sex marriage plebiscite, everyone... And it wasn't me who coined this phrase, I don't know who was, but I think in 2016, same-sex marriage, was it in 2016 that same-sex marriage was legalized in all 50 states of the US? I don't know. I can't remember. Someone refresh my memory on that one. I can't remember. But anyway, so I think in 26, if it is, this phrase is a lot better, unless I'm just using two-year-old material for the best of 2016, which is the biggest stories of 2016, which if that's the case, then I should be fired. But apart from that, I think 2016 that real marriage is finally getting momentum? One of my friends said that to me. Now, I agree with them to a certain extent. That they said that back in August, real marriage is finally getting momentum. And in November, it got slashed. So, you know... It's... I don't know. I don't know. That's my reaction to it. Because if I say what I'm thinking right now, I will have to go back and edit this episode. Excuse me. I have to go back and edit this episode so many times it's not funny. Because there'll be so many expletives. That plebiscite episode, I had some material sent to me from the No campaign, and I think that episode, I have a dump button here. I had to hit that dump button, I think, 3 times during that segment. It was literally, dump 7 seconds, dump 7 seconds, dump 7 seconds, and then it's like, I have worn out the dump button. I went to the point where I could not dump any more audio. But... Here's the thing with the same-sex marriage plebiscite. So, the coalition government, which is our right-wing side of the aisle for those Americans paying attention, they proposed a plebiscite to go to public and vote whether we should change the bill or not. Now, keep in mind, a plebiscite is non-binding, so they could have turned around and went, no, we're not doing it now because, nah. So, that happened, it got drafted, and then it got proposed to the lower house and then the upper house, which is our Congress and our Senate, in that order. But in terms of the plebiscite itself, and I think, and how we got there is probably a weirdest story. it got drafted in a 7-hour meeting, which is weird because it was only just a question. And it turns out that our left here kind of blocked it because... Here's the thing, though. I'll get into it. But the thing with the plebiscite is, the question was, do you support a change in the legislation to enable same-sex couples to get married? That was the question. Now, for the progressive left to ignore that kind of goes against everything, you know? It's weird. I was in support of a plebiscite. Now, there was talks of a free vote, you know, why can't you just change the law in the House, which you could do. You could go ahead and change the law in the actual House itself. But the thing was, that's not what our Labour Party proposed, if that makes sense. I think, so, in order for, that's their agenda, that's what they wanted. They weren't pushing for same-sex marriage, they were pushing for that vote. So, hey, they could have done what the Democrats did this year in Congress and sat on the floor. That was fun. That was one of the best moments of the year, where I got to make fun of Democrats for sitting on the floor. It was terrible what they were sitting on the floor about. It was about gun laws, but hey, you got to laugh where you can. But I think instead of getting involved in, pardon the pun here, to get involved with the politics of it all, they should have just stuck with the basic idea of allowing same-sex marriage. In 2017, and again, we'll get to more of this, all of these three episodes kind of align a little bit. And a lot of last week, the best of the year, the greatest hits, ties into tonight's episode, and tonight's episode ties into tomorrow, as we had to transition into the year. Don't worry, folks, we'll be back in our regular time slot come January 22nd. But I think when it comes to the same-sex marriage website, in 2017, we've got to wake up and realise that people, we are one of the last first world countries to allow same-sex marriage. Now, I was in support of both, because both the free vote to change the law and the plebiscite, mainly because it would ideally result in the same outcome. That's all. That's all I had. that's all I had there. And I think voters, and also if the plebiscite had passed by the Senate and not blocked, you know, what was going on with that? I had something there. I don't know what it was. I had something and I don't know what it was. Oh, yeah, that's right. So, apart from the plebiscite being non-binding, I think that, where was I going with that? I was on a roll. I have no idea. I literally lost my train of thought there. We'll move on. Before I embarrass myself, we'll move on. And I think, I hope that people wake up to themselves in 2017. I really do. Okay, so here's the thing. Moving on to bigger and brighter stories. See, that's the thing. I'm trying to showcase the year in a tight little package, considering I'm by myself this year and there's really no one else to discuss all of this with, if that makes sense. So we're doing all right for time. So let's keep moving here. Let's keep bouncing around. This year, thankfully, was an Olympics year. So for 2 weeks, we had mild entertainment, except I was the only news presenter being positive about the Olympics this year. I was like, breathe. Yeah, the Olympics happened. It was an Olympic year this year, but a lot of people were focusing on the negatives, and yeah, the Zika virus sucked. But come on. Don't cover Zika for 2 weeks during the Olympics. Talk about the Olympics, people. Mind you, I don't know why I clapped, but mind you, I don't think this will be on a lot of people's year list in terms of big stories, because while I watched the Olympics this year, it kind of fell a bit flat for me, because, well, A, I was in Melbourne when that happened, first of all. Second of all, I had time to watch it. Third of all, I don't think it was on a lot of people's radars back in August when it happened. Was it back in August? This will be embarrassing if I'm wrong. It doesn't say. Yes, it was in August. August 5th to 21. Excuse me. Wow, I'm gassy today. Gassy. So we're going to run down a little bit of the medal tally for you, because that's a fun thing to do, right? Apparently. So, the United States scored the first place position with 46 gold, 37 silver, 38 bronze. Great Britain came in second. We'll do top 10. Great Britain scored in second with 27 gold, 23 silver, 17 bronze. China scored in third with 26 gold, 18 silver, 26 bronze. Russia scored fourth with 19 gold, 17 silver, 19 bronze. Germany scored in fifth with 17 gold, 10 silver, 15 bronze. Japan scored in sixth with 12 gold, 8 silver, 21 bronze. France scored in seventh with 10 gold, 18 silver, 14 bronze. No, 21 bronze. No, 14 bronze. Excuse me. Wow. South Korea scored in 8th with 9 gold, 3 silver, 9 bronze. Italy scored in 9th with 8 gold, 12 silver, 8 bronze. And Australia came in 10th with 8 gold, 11 silver, 10 bronze. Yay! In terms of total medals, how does everyone score up there? It goes US, China, Great Britain, Russia, Germany, France, Japan, Australia, Italy, Canada. Wow. I am popular today. That just means I forgot to turn. That just means I forgot to turn my phone off before recording. It's a work day. Cut me some slack. There we go. Yeah, the list kind of stays the same if you sort it by total. But that was the Olympics. I watch the Olympics. I love getting in the spirit of the Olympics. I don't know what it is. It feels like you kind of, you know, kind of feels right, if that makes sense. It's strange. I'm strange. Moving on to bigger and better things. Another thing that kind of got everyone up in arms a little bit earlier on in the year was Brexit. What is Brexit, you ask? Well, it's British exit, which refers to June 23rd, 2016, a referendum whereby British citizens voted to exit the European Union. And I think we've got audio. Have we got audio? I think we do. Is this talking?
The European Union, or EU, is a group of European countries that participate as one unit in the global economy. They mostly operate under one currency, the euro. The EU's current incarnation formed in 1993 with 12 initial members. The addition of Croatia in 2013 expanded its membership to 28, including Germany, Italy, France, and the United Kingdom, though the UK uses the pound sterling as its national currency. The idea of unifying Europe grew in urgency following the devastation of two world wars. The EU's goal was to set up a barrier-free trade zone that would create a more efficient marketplace and build economic wealth. It has done that and more. The EU plays a key role in global economies. The euro has maintained a competitive value against the US dollar, and the EU has become one of the world's top producers. It's one of the world's largest sources and destinations for foreign direct investment as well.
I think, and it's done that, and the UK is now leaving it, so that's exciting.
With our prices, you can get a lot more gardening done.
Can you? Okay, all right, with GLS's gardening, you can get a lot more done. All right. I need that in my life. So, supporters of Brexit base their opinions on a variety of factors, from the global competitiveness of British business to the European debt crisis to concerns about immigration. Britain has already opted out of the European Union's monetary union, meaning that it uses the pound instead of the euro. So, there you go. Mind you, a lot of the major cities and Scotland, as it turns out, wanted to remain in the EU, whereas a lot of the rural kind of areas opted to leave, trying to, you know, open up their economy a little bit more. So Scotland's kind of stance on it is a little bit different, and they've wanted to hold a referendum, and I don't think they actually did hold a referendum in terms of wanting... they never actually heard... They had actually had their own referendum, but they wanted to have their own referendum to remain in the European Union, so Scotland could have another referendum to rejoin the European Union, which is odd. But the fallout from Brexit itself was a little bit interesting. Fulfilling various negative predictions, the Leave vote severity impacted markets worldwide. The pound crashed 11% against the dollar. The FTSE fell 608%, which is weird. Some banks fell 30%. Germany's bank went down 14%. Bank of Ireland fell 20%. And Greece's big banks down 30%. And it also went across the pond to the US, where stocks were down 3%, which is odd. Morgan Stanley and Citigroup went down 10%. Bank of America, JP Morgan, Chase, and Goldman Sachs went down between 5% and 7%. Oil went down 5.2%. In a CNBC interview, former Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said the fallout was worse than the 1987, calling it the worst period I recall since I've been in public service. And then the election of Donald Trump happened, and then it was worse? It's strange. And then, apart from that sort of fallout, James Cameron resigned also, so that's something else that should be worth mentioning as well, that James Cameron actually did resign from that. So what is coming next? Much of the future is riding on the Supreme Court's decision in December. If the government loses the case in Supreme Court, it would fall into the Parliament to decide the fate of the British people. But the June referendum itself was torched as a way to give the British people a say in the matter, and the House of Commons voted to conduct it. Since the members of Parliament were meant to represent the people, they feel pressured to agree to Brexit or the risk of accused of ignoring the wishes of their voters. Once Article 50 is invoked, it sets a 2-year deadline to negotiate trade agreements with the remaining 27 countries of the EU, the largest data of the EU for accounting as 48% of UK exports and 51% of its imports. There you go. And I think that they're planning to have it done by March. Yeah. Theresa May plans to trigger Article 50 at the end of March in 2017. So, 2017 will happen. I don't know if we'll see them go out in terms of, what I'm saying is, I don't know if 2017 will be the year that they actually exit. I think that maybe 2017 that'll start the process, but it could be as late as 2018 where we actually see them leave and see them form partnerships. In terms of who's next, France is probably apparently first in line, then Italy, then Greece and Scotland, who want independence altogether. According to IPOS Public Affairs, 58% of 16 to 64-year-olds say that they should hold a referendum on EU membership. 55 in France, 43 in Sweden, 42 in Belgium, 41 in Poland, 40 Germany, Spain, and 38 in Hungary. Would vote out in a referendum of their country's EU membership was held now. 48 Italy, 41 France, 39 Sweden, 29 Belgium, 22 Poland, 34 Germany, 26 Spain, and 29 Hungary. So I think, and I don't want to go to Article 50 because with our prices, you could get a whole lot more done. Anyway, with our prices, you could get a whole lot more done. So, and I feel bad. I feel like I'm cramming so much into this episode, but I really want to make this as jam-packed as I can and get it out of the way. And the next biggest story of 2016 that we'll have to deal with is Pokemon Go, and dear God, if it was not an Olympic year, I would have to say that Pokemon Go was the best story of 2016, and dear gosh, that's how bad this year got in, at a particular point in time. Yeah, that's right. When a video game is our silver lining on a black cloud, you've got something wrong. So, those of you who were kind of living under a rock, July 6th is when Pokemon Go came out, which is basically a free-to-play, location-based, augmented reality game by the same people that you know and love from that Ingress game that some people played. I actually quite liked it. But instead of portals, you'd use gyms. Instead of something or other, there were Pokestops. I don't know what that... I can't remember what that was called. It was based on the same engine, so... sure. But it had people out and about and walking, and you had hacks, and then you had that story of in Central Park, I believe, of that Vaporeon coming into that. And then you got Nintendo, by the way. I want to put this out there. Nintendo, on the day of the release, there... prices, their shares soared, then they came out and went, oh yeah, we're not a part of it, went back down again, so that was hilarious. You should have priced in then. I'm looking at the awards. Ugh, they were a mixed bag. Metacritic gave it 68. Destroyer gave it 3.5 out of 10. Ugh. GameSpot gave it 7, IGN gave it 7, Polygon gave it 7.5, The Guardian gave it 2 stars, and Time gave it 3. For me, I'd give Pokemon Go a good 6. I think it did out of 10. I think it did what it did for the time, but you've got to keep fresh. You've got to keep on top of it. You've got to make it relevant across the board and get people back in. And they've been doing that of late, introducing more Pokemon and introducing these holiday packages, though they cost a fortune. So I think they're going back down the revenue path, which I don't think they should have done. So, but I would have given it a solid 6 out of 10 for sure. Or a 3 out of 5, however that works for you. A good 3 stars. Whatever, for whatever that's worth, a non-gamer reviewing video games. Have fun with that. And some other small stories for you. Don't worry about the Samsung phones exploding. I had that in here. The reports of recalls of the Samsung, and man, it was a bad year for Samsung this year. They could not catch a break, could they? Where their phones exploded on people, and I also had in here that for Australians at least, man, Australian news did not have a good year this year at all. We did not have a good year this year. I also had in here that census, remember the census, Australians? Their system that was built in 54 hours with a cost of $500, you know, just $9,606,252 cheaper than the system IBM built on Tuesday. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, it costs more to fix it than to actually get anything to do anything at all. Ugh. But more power to the census, though. They kept on top of their social media to kind of get on top of it and get, you know, people back online again. I actually did my census on day dot, but I kind of had to do it while I wasn't at home, so I had to do it out and about. But that night, you've got 21 million Australians logging on to do a census. You can't on one night. You can't expect much, first of all. Second of all, it's going to fail. You can't do it. And finally, before we take our break, 2016, probably the worst bits of 2016 is all the people that we lost. It kind of sucked. I think over the course of the entire year, I think we had a bunch of people just go. It broke my heart, you know? In January, just to name a few, in January we had David Bowie and then Alan Rickman 4 days later. Then Dan Haggerty the next day. On the 8th, this is in January, mind you. January, you had Glenn Frey 3 days after that. In February, you had someone, I'm sure. I'm looking through the list. In March, you had Nancy Reagan on the 6th. You've got to think about that. The First Lady of the U.S. in 1981 to 1989. Husband was the 40th president, Ronald Reagan. She passed away at 94. Frank Sinatra Jr. on March 16th. April, you had Prince. I'm scrolling through the list with you people. That's why it's taking me forever. In May, you had Alan Young from Mr. Ed. Or is that just me? In June, you had Muhammad Ali. I'm sure I'm missing people, by the way. I'm just perusing a big list. So please excuse me if I do miss anyone. Ricky Martin, son of Dean Martin. Don't get too excited. In August, you had Gene Wilder. And in October, in November, you had Fidel Castro. In December, wow, December was not a good month. And this Christmas Day, you had George Michael. You had Carrie Fisher. You had Debbie Reynolds. It just was not good in 2016. Nothing comes at a good time. I mean, it's just unfortunate. All of these deaths, and that just one after the other, it just kept coming and kept flowing, and it's just you get over one of them, and it just boom. And that January and December, either side of it, it just could not cut a break from it. It just didn't go away at all. So tragic. We send our love to the loved ones of that, the families that are experiencing losses this year. It really hit home for some reason this year. But hey, everyone gets a little down, and you know, you gotta pick up your bit straps and keep going. So that was 2016. We are going to take a quick break here before we get into personal achievements of 2016 and before we get out of here for this episode. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to the biggest stories of 2016. I hope you are enjoying this rapid fire version, this condensed version of the biggest stories of 2016. My name's Dale Campbell. I'm with you this afternoon, this morning, this evening, whenever you're hearing this, because it's not live. I just remember that. I feel like I've been talking like I'm live, which I'm not, which is strange. Yeah, recording this at the very end of 2016, it's kind of weird, you know, being here and just like sitting here in front of a microphone. I don't know what to do with myself. It's like I should talk or something. Anyway, so 2016, like I said, for news has kind of been a bit underwhelming. For myself personally, I think 2016, I've learned a lot about myself in 2016. Now, I think for me, 2016 was chaotic. And I think I learned a lot from 2016 in those little moments, I think. And for me to have 6 honourable mentions and a tie for the best of the year, I can't really complain that much. And I'm just going to knock the worst bits out of the way first. The fact that I failed at a paper for university and dropping out with dishonorable mention, having to go to some of the heart-wrenching moments of 2016. I'm not gonna get into them here. I think that's got to be but they're the defining moments of 2016. They're not necessarily bad per se. They're defining, and I'm not even using that to be cliche. They suck. But you can learn a lot and grow from that, which that's got to be the best of the year. I think coming away from those moments and really picking myself up. And finally, I think 2016 was the defining moment that I got to be as open as I am with my audience, with our audience. I feel like we're all each other's audience here at Generic Live Show. And I think having that conversation. So I just bent over. Sorry. that's not me. Our audience. It's not that. It's being open to the audience and having that conversation and coming together and being that collective. I think that is definitely a defining moment of 2016. But if I was to narrow it down to a particular moment in 2016, having run a federal campaign for a local representative here, that's got to be the defining moment of 2016. So, because it ties into that, those definitive moments and running with them. Excuse me. Taking those definitive moments and running with them. You get kicked down, but you've got to get back up again, and you've got to get on the horse, and you've just got to keep going. And that's what assisting running a political campaign for white representatives who unfortunately did lose in the federal election here locally. But it's about the swing. We swung it back a lot in our favor. We only lost by 4 points in the end, I want to say. And I think helping run that campaign did teach me a lot about myself, and that I could be myself. Like, I didn't have to be this person in my private life and be a different person at work or be a different podcasting person. What you see is what you get. Like, if you meet me in person, if someone walked in this room and if I was off air, they would get the same person as they would on air. I'm the same person. There's no point being a character to me, and that's what I learned in 2016. I mean, in 2016 there's a little bit of a difference, but I grew out of that stage, and I think that campaign did help me a lot. Some honourable mentions, though. 2016, that was a lot. Any of these could have taken the cake, particularly the half marathon, the Disney half marathon, and the Holiday to America. That was a really close third tie for the best of the year. It just kind of ran, like, just running that half marathon did. It also taught me a lot to go out of my comfort shell, because. Comfort shell? Go out of my comfort shell. Go out of my comfort zone. Go out of my comfort shell. Okay. And it's. Did teach me a lot, and it just running that marathon, it just helped start off the year right. And that's the moment I knew this year, no pun intended, I'm hitting the ground running. But going to my best friend's 21st birthday, seeing her family there, seeing her being happy. Maddie, if you're listening, you're amazing. Don't ever leave me. If you do, there'll be a price to pay, and it's not cheap. Being featured in the local newspaper for school. Holiday down to Melbourne with a friend, Brendan, if you're listening. Kudos to you. Getting a housemate. It just, lots of little events that just garnered honourable mentions, but in any other year could have garnered that top spot. And a really close tie for first was the continuous growth of this show. And, you know, if it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't have been able to present. I wouldn't have been able to do this if it wasn't for you guys. You know, if it wasn't for you guys, if it wasn't for Geek.io, if it wasn't for Blog Talk Radio, if it wasn't, you know, all number of platforms that this show is delivered on. Not a content delivery platforms. But, and soon to be more platforms come first of the year. I'm really excited to announce that come first of the year. But, you know, it's just, I can't have done 2016 without you. And I know I've said that, and this is the last time I'll be saying this for 2016. Thank you for your continuous support throughout the year. It's been a rough year, but between all the good and the bad things, you guys have been there for me, and I don't know how I can pay you. I owe you guys a debt of gratitude. I think I think paying you is providing a hopefully entertaining two hour show. So I think that is, and there's a lot more to come in 2017. We're not going anywhere. You heard this last week, probably on the feed, because we're doing this. This is a part two of three. You heard last week, which is odd to say in a show that's coming out sooner than I'm saying that. Anyway, the point is, you heard in the greatest hits. I'm still not good with this time thing. But you heard in the greatest hits some of the funnest moments of the year. And I think that is the definitive moments. And you've been here for this crazy ride that has been 2016. And I want to thank you. So, that is 2016 in a nutshell. Holy cow! Can 2017 be a little bit better? I'm begging you. Or at least a little bit quieter. A little bit less rushed. Jeepers, that was 2016 in a nutshell. Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to the biggest stories of 2016. If you want to get a hold of us, you can. genericliveshow@gmail.com. So that's where you can email, you can give us your thoughts. Of course, you can find us on Blog Talk Radio, on YouTube at youtube.com/genericliveshow. Come first of the year. I believe our first show back is still going to be the 22nd of January. So look forward to that. That'll be our first show. Last week was the greatest hits. If you want to check that out on the feed, please do. It's hilarious. And actually, it does get a little bit deep and meaningful because we basically talked about everything that we talked about in this show, but it's just me regurgitating it because that's fun. You kind of listen to 2 hours of every single week on the show. Listen to that show. I think it wrapped up to be about an hour and 20 minutes, I think. I don't know. It was small. No much more than this one, anyway. Next week we'll have a predictions episode, which that show will be smaller, hopefully. These recording sessions have been huge. I'm going to take a little bit of a break. The prediction show will happen after the first of the year. Happy New Year. I mean, I don't know why I'm saying Happy New Year when this show is coming out on the 9th on the feed, but anyway. So, hope you had a Happy New Year. It's weird, I haven't talked for a while, so this is strange. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show. We'll see you all next week for the 2017 Predictions Show. I'm Dale Campbell for the Generic Live Show. We'll see you all next time. Bye for now.
This has been a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network, where you put your geek in and geek out. Geek-io.net for more geeky goodness.